tumfo. Yebeye udinaye unyuma panunti. Me tumfo nyami tumfo yebeyi udinaye ujuma pa nu. Go straight into our Bible study for today. And let's all please open our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. It's a Bible study, so we are all sharing.
Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 14. Then I went on to the gates of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass.
Okay.
Verse 15. Then went I up into the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gates of the valley, and so returned.
Okay.
Verse 16. And the rulers knew not whither I went, or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work.
Okay, so we are going to center on verse 16 for just a short while. But let me, for those who have not
For those who have not gone through the study with us, let me explain what is happening. Nehemiah had gotten letters from the king to go back to his hometown, that's Jerusalem, and then go help build the walls, okay, the walls of Jerusalem. Now, there were different projects that were going on. When you read Ezra, you realize that there were others who were building the temple, and then there were others too who were helping build the wall. But Nehemiah specifically went in there to build the wall. And we've been doing this study right from the beginning of Nehemiah to where we realized that Nehemiah was a cupbearer, was not happy, a cupbearer to the king. That's a heathen king who was in charge now. The people of Israel were in exile. And so last week we got to verse 10, talking about Nehemiah. He had the letters, he had the authority from the king, and he went to Jerusalem. So verse 16, we see, and the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Last week we realized that Nehemiah went in the middle of the night and where nobody would see him. Why do you think that, we discussed that, but over here he says clearly that he didn't tell anybody. So why do you think Nehemiah did not tell any of these people? Because the verse 16 takes time to actually list out the people, the kinds of people, so that we don't miss anyone. He could have just said Nehemiah did not tell the people, but here he lists it out and then tells us that he did not tell the Jews who were going to benefit. He did not tell the priests who were important people who do the sacrifices. He did not tell the nobles, the important men. He did not tell the rulers, the people in charge, nor to the rest that did the work, the people who were even going to do the work. So what can we learn from here?
Please, in my view, I'm thinking that he wanted to find out the damage or the damage. What is here to be done before informing the people? Because if you should have gone to see them, they may ask questions. And so you need to get all the information on ground before going to meet those people to let them know what is happening.
He wanted to check the damage before he goes to speak to the people. Is there any other reason? Because last week we learned that he went with a few people. In the first place, he went with a few people, and then he took only one horse, the one that he was riding. And then now, besides that, he didn't tell any other person. So why do you see, what kind of strategy do we see here? Apart from the fact that he was checking everything before he goes to tell the rest, what do you think he was trying to achieve here or try to prevent by not telling anybody? And when we apply it to our own lives, in our everyday lives, how is this applicable? Have you seen somebody behave like this before? And why did they behave that way?
For me, I think he probably was avoiding people discouraging him. People's comments, for instance, can discourage you when you go to. There's already a damage. You already know what the situation is. But probably some people, when you go with them, it'd be, oh no, this one, the extent to which it is destroyed, I don't think we can do anything about it. So in my opinion, I think that was one reason why he probably went alone. Maybe another reason was to hear God on everything that he was seeing. And sometimes when you are with people, you don't hear, they interfere with what God is saying. So those are the two reasons why I feel he left. He went alone.
Okay. Right. Any other contribution? With the hearing God, I've seen a man, or I've heard, let's say, a man of God has shared this before. He said that they were worshiping in a certain city. They had an auditorium there, like worshiping there. But now they had to move to a bigger place. And everybody kept asking that, can we go? Where can we go? And then people started presenting all sorts of places to him. And then he was led by the Spirit of God. They came to tell him about a certain place, but somebody said that, that place is bushy. It's bushy, it's not far from the city and all that. But he just heard the Spirit of God that, let's go. So when he went with them, he got there, it was just forest everywhere. And then when he got down from the car, he just heard in his voice, this is the place. But before hearing, he got down, he started moving, and then he asked everybody to wait behind. And when he asked them to wait, he alone entered the place, was walking around, and then he just heard the Holy Spirit tell him that this is the place. And today, they have over 50,000 seater capacity building, the auditorium there, and then they are even building a 100,000 capacity auditorium just next to it as we speak. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So with hearing God, truly, yes, there's a time where when searching out things, you need to ask everybody else to wait so that you can hear God properly. Amen. Okay, so is there any other contribution that we can, something that personally you've experienced with regards to that? Okay,
okay. I believe that every project has its helpers and its damages. And especially when you're dealing with a sensitive project and you're not very sure the kind of people you have with you, you must be steady on how you involve everybody and how you communicate. Until you're sure of who is actually for you, you most likely want to keep a lot of information to yourself before you present them to the wrong people. Jesus would call it casting your pearls before swine. They would just trample it under their feet, and then that would be the end of it. So I'm taking it from the fact that Nehemiah maybe was not even born there. Maybe he was born in the exiled land, for example. And so coming there, he doesn't even know the kind of people he's coming to meet. And so it is very wise to keep a lot of information to yourself. Do a few things yourself, especially at the preliminary stages, until you are certain of those who are actually for you and are willing to follow which way God is directing before you start communicating certain things. And it's very practical. And if most of us would learn to nurture things in our hearts before we start telling people, by the time it's built in our spirits, we'd know who is actually for us and who is not for us and who is for what God is doing through us as well.
Okay, that's good. So to avoid vision killers prematurely killing what God has purpose. So as musicians, how is this applicable, Sika? As a musician, how is this applicable? At what times do you have to shut everybody out to be able to, as musicians? So as you think about it, let me read the next verse. And then we see the vision killers there. Okay, so from the verse 16, the verse 17, then Nehemiah said, then said I unto them. So there's now Nehemiah, after checking everything, he goes to speak to the people. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Okay, so after that, not telling everybody, now he goes to tell them all this. And then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. He's referencing God again. As also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Amen. Let's round it up with the verse 19. But when Sambalat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite and the Geshem the Arabian, and Geshem the Arabian, so there are three here. Sambalat the Horonite, Tobiah the servant, and the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. So I'm asking two questions. The second question is about Nehemiah's kinds of response. Because right from start, when the king asked him, so what do you need? His kind of response. And then over here, you see his kind of responses. Okay? What can you tell about Nehemiah's kind of response? And then also the question I asked before, that as musicians, how can hiding things, should I call it hiding things? Or being discreet about certain plans, how does it apply to us as musicians and as Christians? In which areas? Even if you can't say for musicians, we are all Christians. In which area can it apply? And this time when you are speaking, you have to come here and then do your contribution. So that everybody can see you. Okay, so Sika, come. I asked a question. So, you know, at GLOW, there are different kind of people and musicians playing different roles. So, how does this apply to us as musicians in being discreet?
Okay, I will take it from the point of when, let's say, you're having a program. As a musician, if you're organizing a retreat or some program somewhere, let's say what happened like the Human Mercy program like that, let's for example, I think it will be best for the leader to keep most of the thing or go for a quiet place most of the time to be able to hear from God concerning the program. So as a musician, I think the right time is when you're about to have a program, it will be best for you to go for a hiding, to go into hiding, to be able to hear from God concerning the program you want to do, how to do it, and who to get involved into the program. And secondly, if you're writing a song as well, too, sometimes you need to be in a hiding place to hear more God's word, more concerning the song you want to write, because sometimes the noisy place will not allow you to hear more of God. That small, tiny voice needs to be heard, so you need to be at a quiet place to be able to hear those ones. Thank you.
Okay, so personally, have you been in a situation where someone, you were trying to plan out something and then somebody was just discouraging you, as for this one, chair, forget about it?
Yes, last week's Sunday, which it is even a problem between me and my pastor and the lady as we are talking now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Somebody wanted to be part of the prayer warrior, but I don't know the time they meet as prayer warrior. So pastor was telling the person that the person is staying far, so the person cannot join. So I was telling that the leader, we can speak to the pastor and make time for those who want to come early. Those who are staying far to come early to come and pray. And the next person was like, it can't be possible. Mm. So I was like, how can it be possible? So I realized if I should have spoken to the lady in a quiet place,
yes,
that third person would have been in. And this issue got to my pastor and signed the whole program all together.
Wow. So that's very practical. Okay, so Rodella, is there a way I don't know if you want to speak on the Nehemiah's responses, but how is this applicable? Sika has spoken about writing songs, and I've spoken about organizing programs.
Okay. Right from the beginning of our study, we realized that when Nehemiah had a desire, which obviously was one that God had placed in his heart, but before he even spoke to any man, he prayed. Okay, and we see that right from the outset, from speaking to the king, from even the people he asked about the situation in Jerusalem, before even going to see the king, all of it were directed by God. Okay, all of it were directed by God. In our day, it will be the working of the Holy Spirit, but everything was directed by God. And Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 21, verse 15. It starts from 14, where Jesus was saying that do not worry about how to respond to people. In fact, you read from the top, he's actually explaining end time issues and brought up times where you would have to respond to something, or when you are face to face with people who don't believe or trust in what you are declaring as what God's plan is. Okay. And he was saying in verse 14 that do not think about what you have to say or worry about how to respond to the people. But in verse 15, it says, I will give you a mouth and wisdom so that you know how to respond to these people in a way that nobody will be able to gainsay what you have said. And we see this in play in the case of Nehemiah. Right from even speaking to the king to how to respond, all of it, I believe, was through the working of God in his life because he prayed. So everything he did was directed by God. Sometimes we feel that directing God is only when we hear God say, pass here and pass there or pass there. But when you have submitted yourself to God in prayer, even your thoughts are controlled by him. The things you say are controlled by him. The work you do, where you pass, where you go, you realize that everything you are doing is in a certain order towards what God wants you to do. So this is with Pastor's question about responses, how he was responding was because he had prayed and had submitted himself to God in prayer. And so every response he needed to give in order to see what God has placed in his heart come to pass was being given to him by God. So if we're going to keep seeking God on everything that he has called us to do and trusting the Holy Spirit to speak to us every time, we'll know what to say at what time. So with reference to when you're a musician, when you're organizing a program, or even as believers, in fact, there's this popular saying that these days is on people's statuses. They'll tell you that when a tree is falling, it makes a lot of sound. But when a tree is growing, nobody hears anything. So you have to grow silently. Right? So anytime God bets something in your heart, let it be like a seed. Until it begins to spring forth, it should have had enough baking within you. Baking in prayer, baking in worship, baking in meditation, baking in godly and purposeful conversation with the people that you are very, very sure are actually for you. And so when you are organizing a program, right from the time the Lord brings it into your heart to organize the program, your first point of contact is the one who placed it in your heart. So you must spend enough time speaking to him, and it doesn't end there. You listen and you keep listening. Well, as you do that, when you begin to speak to people, you realize that the Holy Spirit will be directing you as to who to talk to, how to say it, what to do, and then you realize that it progresses from there. So before you organize a program, you stay in your closet, shut the doors to everybody and everyone, seek God concerning the matter, and through that, you'll be directed to the people who you should talk to individually to bring it to pass. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's clap for everybody who has contributed. Yeah. Please, is the Bible, the study is family time, so everybody, you are supposed to contribute, okay? Everybody is supposed to contribute. Those online, kindly send in your comments so that it can be read out. It can be read out for everybody to benefit. Why? You look at Nehemiah's responses. I'm going to read out Nehemiah's response to Sambalat and associates. They came in with, they filed a lawsuit against Nehemiah that does he want to disobey the king by doing what he's intending to do. Okay, so they went like, when they heard that Nehemiah and co. were building, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, I hope you know what scorn is. There's when you search the ministry website, there's a teaching on scorn, and we are asked not to be scornful. So you can just search the website after today and then learn about scorn. But here they were operating scorn seriously, and they despised Nehemiah and his team and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? But listen to Nehemiah's response. Then answered I Nehemiah them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. Say after me, the God of heaven.
The God of heaven.
He will prosper us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is not the God of so and so, and the God of this and that. You know, in our days, it's very easy for people to mention the God of my man of God.
The God of,
the God of my man of God. And he just puts it bluntly. He said, the God of heaven. And the other parts of scripture in referencing Jehovah, the God we serve, you see, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We want to be very clear the kind of God we are referencing. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you see that Sambalat and co, they came in with their case, but Nehemiah didn't go and call his mom. He didn't go and call his dad. He didn't go and cry to his boyfriend. His girlfriend. Yes, yeah, you. He didn't go and cry to his girlfriend, right? Okay. He didn't go and cry to the king who gave him the authority. The king had done his part. He had given him the authority. Amen.
Amen.
Some people, when you even told them that, oh, you can sing the song, you, the coach, you've told them that I have trained you, groomed you, I've checked your capacity, you can do this song. Even after saying that, they'll tell you that, no, I still don't believe it. Tell your neighbor that after God has done his part, do your part.
After God has done his part, do your part.
Hallelujah. So God gave Nehemiah favor, right, before the king. And then the king gave him the authority, right?
Yes.
So when the people came, if Nehemiah's source of power was the king, he would have cried unto the king. But he knew that it was somebody that moved the king. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So he referenced directly the main source. He didn't go to his house meter. He went to ECG straight away. VRA, the dam. He went there And I'll share this short story, and then we close with that. That one day, somebody found trouble for herself to go and report a certain pastor at the police station. That the pastor was trying to help her, rather had stolen from her. You see, church members and pastors. And so when the issue got to the police station and the pastor got there, they asked him, and said, this lady needed help with a certain device. And then I just asked one of my guys to help him. And now they said they can't find the device. And the lady is saying the device got missing in the pastor's office. And then the pastor said, so this is what happened. And then they asked the pastor, are you a repairer? I said, no, it's not that. I just asked one of my people to help the lady. And said, no, so this is what the lady has done. And then the lady was bent on making the case so bad to disgrace this pastor. So the pastor said, oh, okay. Then he needed help. So he prayed, and then God gave him direction to call somebody, an old friend. When he called the old friend called the IGP's house.
Hey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hello.
Hi.
And so the police commander was there, and then a call came. This is from the IGP's house. After the commander spoke to, then the commander called the pastor. Now, who's who to book a crap? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So don't go to your house meter. Go to the dam. Go to the source when there's an issue. Amen. Amen. So Nehemiah referenced God, the creator of the entire universe, the King of Kings. And he said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants. Now he was establishing relationship, the kind of relationship he had with God. Now we didn't just come here. We came as God's servants. Amen.
Amen.
We'll arise and build. But ye have no portion. He made sure he added that clause to it. That you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are going to prayer time shortly, but I want you to close your eyes. First, thank God for the revelations that we've received in this Bible study. Begin to thank the Lord. It's just Him who has revealed it unto us. He gave us the theme, build, and we are thanking Him that He's revealing these things to us. Now, also pray that God, at times when I need to be alone with You, Lord, show me. Incline my heart unto understanding that when I need to be alone to hear from You and to commune with You, You grant me the bond. Sometimes some of us, we are afraid. We are afraid every day. We want to be attached. If it's everybody is not involved, if the whole choir is not singing, we can't sing. The moment we are called to stand out alone, then we are just afraid. So you are praying and you are saying that, God, help me. Help me, help me, that I can rise up as an individual whenever the need arises to do things, to lead, to take initiatives in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We didn't come here to play, Lord. We came here to commune with You. Change our lives. These things that we've learned, transform our lives in the name of Jesus. Transform our lives in the name of Jesus. Grant us the boldness that You gave unto Nehemiah. Grant us the kind of wisdom and understanding that You gave unto Nehemiah. To reference You when our enemies come up against us. To, Lord, still rise and build. To still arise and build. When our enemies come against us, that we won't chicken out. We won't be in fear. We won't live in fear. We won't be intimidated. But we'll rather respond to them according to the word that You have placed in our mouth. Even as You said that we should not be afraid when we are called before rulers, but we should, even Your Holy Spirit will speak through us, will give us utterance. Lord, whether it is writing of music, Lord, whether it is singing before the large congregation, whether it is going on outreach, everything that, Lord, even You need us to do, let us do it boldly, 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 in the name of Jesus. Let us rise and build in the name of Jesus. Grant us that boldness in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Today, the 15th of August, we pray, Lord, and we ask for that spirit of boldness in the name of Jesus. That spirit that overcomes every intimidation. That spirit that overcomes every intimidation. Why people say we can't get contracts? We will get, Lord, even more and multiple contracts in the name of Jesus. In Ghana, in Africa, all over the world, in different continents, in the name of Jesus. Today, as we pray, every limitation through intimidation is broken. Every limitation through intimidation is broken. Every limitation through intimidation is broken. What people have said we cannot do, where they said we cannot build, we will build, Lord, even multiple ones in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of Sambalat and Tobiah, every spirit even of Haruna the Arabian, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we stop them now. We stop them now. We cancel them now. We cancel the agenda now. We arise and build. We arise and build. We arise and build. We arise and build. In our careers, we arise and build. In our ministries, we arise and build. In the name of Jesus, stagnancy is over. Stagnancy is over. Stagnancy is over. We arise and build in the name of Jesus. Begin to thank the Lord. Begin to thank the Lord. Begin to thank the Lord. Begin to thank the Lord, even for answered prayer in the name of Jesus. My life will not be the same. My life will not be the same. My life cannot be the same again. In the name of Jesus, we give you the praise, Lord. We give you the praise, Lord.